to the teenage class, and but I promise you, I will be here for the morning service, right there, front row, with bells on. But I know you're going to be blessed. God has used him for years and years and years, and I like men of God that you don't measure their faithfulness in years, you measure it in decades, and that's an encouragement to me. And so we'll take our offering at this time. Everything that comes in will go to our missions account, support our missions outreach. So those of us that have pledged an increase in this year during our missions emphasis month, let's be mindful of that and excited to be able to for the opportunity to be able to give missions. Some of you have been asking, and by the way, senior saints especially, thank you for your prayers concerning the meetings that I was involved in this week. Excellent meetings, just wonderful things God did. Especially pleased the last three nights to be able to go over and preach for Brother Voorhees. If you'll remember, Brother Voorhees was the preacher that had the surgeries and actually thought he was going to be out of the pulpit and out of work. He's bivocational, small church, works a job to support his family. Thought he was going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks, ended up being out for almost 6 months because of complications. And what a blessing it was to go over and be an encouragement to him. Me and Cheryl took the teenage girls, the three trio that sings, and they provided special music. And then Cheryl was babysitting the last two nights, and so we had some of the parents bring the girls over, and they were such a blessing. We had good meetings. God met with us, and so wonderful things going on over there, and I think good things ahead for the Millgrove Baptist Church. Brother Schindler, thank you again for being with us. I'll introduce you at this time, and we'll dismiss at 20 after. Thank you.
Thank you, preacher. Good morning. I'm glad to be here. At my age, I'm glad to be anywhere. This broke anyway. I'm an accident on the way to happening. Yeah, I am. So, isn't it exciting? I tell you what, I've been out of the pastorate. I pastored for 40 years, and I don't really miss the pastorate because the Lord's given me a wonderful ministry and traveling and preaching and here and abroad and so on. But I do get in a good church like this, and there are things about the pastorate I miss the big days. I miss the hullabaloo and all the excitement and the kids and all that and so on. So it's exciting to watch, and it's a joy. You know, I'm going to tell you something, Blessed Hope. You don't have many churches like this in this country, let alone this state, that are reaching folks and running buses and trying to win the area to Christ. You just don't have many. And so it's a joy and a thrill just to be here and to see it and witness it. The preacher told me that, and about your theme and so on, and he asked me if I'd pray about teaching and preaching on faith, and I did do that, and God kind of spoke to my heart, I believe, and I want to share with you some things about faith. And by the way, Hebrews 11 chapter verse number 6 says the only way we can please God is by faith. And faith is a good Bible study for every Christian. Every one of us need to understand, what does it mean? You know, we hear a lot of times about walking by faith, trusting God, you know. I was told as a young Christian, when you can't track God, trust him. Huh? And so if we're going to please God, we need to understand what faith is. I told a preacher, I said I was 71 or 72. And for a guy, I can't even remember what he had for breakfast. It's hard to remember the dates and everything. But I was in a Southwide Baptist Fellowship of Preachers in Louisville, Kentucky. I believe the name of the church is Bethany Baptist Church. Tom Wallace was the pastor of the church at the time. And they had a big, big conference. Place was packed out with preachers from everywhere. And the preacher, Brother Wallace, had a man by the name of Bill Harvey, who was a song leader and a songwriter and a singer, leading the singing and being a special music. And he was up on the platform. And I got an opportunity to meet him and spend some time with him later on, years later. But he was sitting on the platform. And so Dr. Wallace introduced him and had him come. And when he came, he said, I just wrote a song sitting on the platform. He said, I've never sang this song. He said, but I'm going to sing it for you. He sang the song, I Want That Mountain. And he wrote that song sitting on that platform and sang that, and I heard him sing it for the very first time. It's in your hymn book, I Want That Mountain. And so that was quite a mark in history for me to see that and hear that. And we sing that song in our church all the time. So, well, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11th chapter. You cannot teach on faith unless you go to Hebrews 11th chapter as part of the teaching scriptures. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse number 1. Now, I'm going to read it, then go back and kind of paraphrase it and give you some things that maybe help to really grasp the significance of these verses. It says, now faith is Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So much for the Big Bang Theory. Amen. So now let me kind of break it down and kind of define it as we go. All right. Then so faith defined. See, just take the word faith. We're going to talk about this in just a few minutes. But take the word faith. What is a synonym for it? Is there another word we could use that would help us understand? I would think trust, don't you think, would be one. So faith really is trust or reliance or believing in action. I call it believing in action. Now faith is a substance. And the idea of substance means to substantiate, to give the essence to. It's the idea of a title deed. If you bought a home and along the way you finally paid it off and they gave you the title deed, it's the ownership of. So if you put that thought in, it says, faith is a substantiating, it's a title deed, it's a knowing, it's the owning of things hoped for. Now, hope is not, I hope I get to heaven. If you think about hope, I like to think about hope is like the telescope of faith. Hope is, I know there's a heaven. I know there's a God. I know God is working. Hope is the telescope that makes you able to see, because faith is not blind faith. There's no such thing as blind faith. Faith is knowing. Faith is seeing. Faith is substantiating. Faith is knowing, and so on. So faith, then, is a substantiating, he said, and hope for, and the evidence of things, the title deeds of things not seen. That's kind of the essence of faith. And so faith really, and faith and hope are not the same thing. But the real truth is God says much about the amount of our faith. I want to say this now. I want to quote some verses. I don't know that faith is as easily understood for me as maybe the idea. It's not the amount of faith as it is the focus of our faith. The focus of our faith is what increases and magnifies our faith. Okay. For instance, in Deuteronomy 22, verse number 32, verse 20, it says that they had no faith. Matthew 6:30, Jesus said, ye of little faith. Luke 7:9 said, so great is faith. Luke 5:20, seeing their faith. Faith is something you can see. Faith is something that's active, and so on. Matthew 15:28, great is thy faith. Matthew 11:22, have faith in God, the Bible says. Luke 17:5, increase our faith. Luke 22:32, that thy faith may not fail thee. So knowing that Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh and hearing cometh by the hearing of the word of God. So if I was a Christian, I want to increase my faith, then I need to increase my focus on the word of God and the promises of God. So it's not so much the amount, like do I have a room full of faith, is can I focus my faith and believe God and trust God? That's what faith is all about. It's a matter of trusting God. So faith is, by the way, look in Hebrews 11 chapter here again, and look at, faith is really an action word. Look in verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered, that's a verb, unto God a more excellent sacrifice. In verse number 5, By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's a verb. See, and then in verse number 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's a verb. And then in verse number 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of being of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. So faith is an action word. Faith brings about action in our lives. So faith is designed to move our will. See, that's why in James, the fourth chapter, talks about works. It says, in Exodus, what James is saying, he said, faith without works is dead. Then he went on to say, if you say you have faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. And that's what it's talking about. We're not saved by works. We're not kept by works. But our works come as a result of our faith. If you say you have faith and you're not working, you don't have faith. That's what he's saying. It's dead. You don't have life. See? And so faith is an action word, and faith is something that is designed to move our will. I remember several incidents in my own life. I remember when God saved me. I got saved July 2nd, 1961. I'll be saved 54 years coming up in July. A few weeks after I got saved, I surrendered my life, best I knew how, and gave my life to serve God. Then a few weeks after that, God called me to preach. Now, I'm a young married man. I'm 22 years old, and God's called me to preach. The nearest Bible college is an hour and 15, 20-minute drive from me. So I had to figure out, what am I going to do about Bible college? So as a young Christian, I said, I have to trust. And can you afford it? And can anybody afford college? Of course not. But I had to say, well, am I going to trust God? I believe God's led me to go to Bible college, so what am I going to do? So I drove up to the Bible college to take a look at it and everything, and I come back, and my wife and I talked and said, we're going to just have to trust God. We're going to believe God. God's called me, and I've got to be trained. So by faith, my belief took action, and I started going to Bible college, driving up. And I had the privilege of going to Bible college, and I crowded my 4 years into eight. and I thought I wouldn't have enough faith to even finish. But see, God, if we don't have enough faith to move our will and to exercise our will and to act upon our faith, we really don't have faith. Faith is designed to move our will and to bring about action. So if faith is designed to move the will, it must find enough evidence or substantiation to my intellect to empower my will. So my faith must be strong enough. So I had to really believe in my heart. I had to really believe that God called me to preach. And I had to really come to the understanding, said, boy, I need to be trained. It didn't take much if you knew me, because when I was 22 years old, when I got saved, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I never even saw a inside of a church building until I was 16 years old. If you'd asked me when I was 15 years old what a pew looked like, I'd say, pew, what's a pew? Well, I didn't know what a pulpit was. I'd never read the Bible other than one or two chapters. Or I don't even know if I read two chapters. I picked up a Bible. My mother and dad did have a Bible. Nobody ever read it, and so on, and so on. If you'd asked me, now here I am, I'm saved, and I really only know in my heart I got saved. If you'd walked up and said, are you washed in the blood? I said, washed in the blood? I really... A week or two after I got saved, had no idea. Born again, I had no idea. I didn't know that I was a sinner and I got saved. I know that God saved me, so on, and so on. So the little bit of faith I had to somehow react to that, see? By the way, faith is not faith unless it is reacted to. So I had to have enough evidence in my heart that God wanted me to make that step of faith and step out and trust him. I remember years after that, 1968, when God began to deal with me, I was working a job and going to Bible college, and I started a church. I started a church in 1965. I was 4 years old in the Lord. I think I had something wrong up here at the time. I don't know. Can you imagine 4 years old in the Lord, not even raising a Christian home, being a pastor? So I rented American Legion Hall and started Open Bible Baptist Church. I was pastoring that church. working a full-time job, driving 3 days a week up to Pontiac, Michigan, round trip, about an hour, 10 minutes up, hour and 10 minutes back to get my education. And God says, I want you, and we run about 45 or 50 in Sunday school. And God implied and spoke to my heart through the Word of God, by the way, He dealt with me, that I was to quit my job and just step out by faith and live by faith and build that church. Whew. Now, I want to tell you something. When you got a family and you got a house payment and all the rest of the stuff and you're going to Bible college and God says quit your job, you better make sure God said that. And by the way, I couldn't do it. I wrestled with it. And God wouldn't leave me alone about it. And I don't recommend it for any preacher to do it. Never is your faith a pattern for somebody else's faith. Because God's will for your life is not the same. See? And so, but I just knew. And finally, I went to hear Dr. Hiles preach in about 30-minute drive down towards Detroit, Michigan. It was in Michigan where I was living. And heard him preach. And while he was preaching, I was up there going through the verses and everything, and I knew God was telling me. So on the way out, I told my wife, I said, I made a decision tonight. She said, I know. I said, you know? What do you mean you know? She said, you're going to quit your job, aren't you? I said, yep. She's okay. And she was 100% for it. We stepped out by faith. So you know what? I had enough faith in my heart that it helped me to exercise my will and to obey God. So when we serve God and live for God, we do it by faith, and that faith has got to have enough evidence and enough impression upon your soul to help you to make the right decision. See? So I made that decision. So it's like hearing the gospel. You hear the gospel, and somebody tells you that's what happened to me. When I went forward, I got saved in an elementary school building. A preacher had rented an elementary school building to start a church, Newburgh Baptist Church. And finally, a couple that lived across the street from my wife and I kept working on us and working on us and working on us. And I want to tell you, don't give up on people. Keep working on them. And so they finally, I agreed to go to church. I didn't want to go. My wife wanted to go. But I want to get them off my back, so I went. But I was really under great conviction. I didn't know that. I knew nothing about conviction. Because a Christian at work, and the people used to witness to me, and I'd cuss them out and run them off. I didn't get mad. I got my own religion. And that's kind of silly. If you saw me, and when I was 22 years old and I got saved, I only weighed 106 pounds, soaking wet full of bananas. I was so skinny I had to tease the hair in my legs to keep my socks up. But this fella there named Bill Van Buren stuck his finger in my face, backed me up against a steel beam and said, Fred Schindler, don't you know you're going to die and go to hell? Don't you know that God loves you and Christ died for you? You need to be saved? Man, he nailed me. But I couldn't get away from the tears running down his face. Those tears. I went home thinking about those tears, laying in the bedroom at night and looking up into the darkness and said, where is God? Who is God? Is there really a God? Is there really a heaven? I'm not going there. Is there a hell? That's where I'm going to go, man. And I was so much under conviction. So I went, and we sat in that auditorium, and the preacher preached. And I don't remember what he preached. But in the invitation, the preacher who was preaching became the pastor. He was candidating for that church. So the pastor that started church was sitting next to, he was on the outside aisle. He sat next to my wife and then me. And he leaned in. He said, why don't you go forward and get saved? And I said, saved? I'm not drowning. What in the world are you talking about? I really did not know. And then my wife started crying. And I said, what are you crying about? And she cried harder. So next thing you know, this preacher steps out and my wife steps out. And I'm saying, where are we going? I don't want to join this church. I had no idea what's going on. Had no idea. Only second time I've ever been in any church. The first one was a modernistic liberal church. And so I came up and they took my wife off over here. The other, just in a classroom. Wasn't an auditorium, wasn't a platform, and so on. But they took me up here in the front, and there was two folding chairs, metal folding chairs. And he asked me to sit down here, and I sat down. There's everybody watching, about 35 or 40 people. It looked like 35,000 to me. And I'm sitting there, and they're looking at me like, and I want to say, what are you looking at, you know? But I sat down, and he took his Bible, and he started out with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When he said that, he said, now, Fred, you make up the world, don't you? You didn't come in the last spaceship, did you? I said, no, sir. He said, well, let's put your name in there. For God so loved Fred Schindler that he gave his only begotten. When he said, God loved me, Fred Schindler, I said in my heart, I'm going to listen. I stopped arguing. I stopped fussing. I said, I am going to listen. And I stuck my nose in that Bible, and he went through that Bible, and I found out how God loved me and how his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and died for my sins and was buried and rose again. He was my Savior, and I'd repent and trust him. I'd get saved. Guess what I did? I got saved. Because I heard enough from the Word of God. And God said, do I have great faith? No, but I had salvation faith. I had felt salvation. I had enough faith to believe. And see, I got to say this, and I'll come back and say it later, okay, before we get done. See, belief is a choice of your will. Doubt, when doubt comes, you have to make a decision. Because if you follow and believe your doubt, you then make decisions in unbelief. Because doubt leads to unbelief. But if you decide in your heart, I'm going to believe, that belief then will turn to faith. And you can act upon it. What I did is, I believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried and rose again. I saw him like that in my mind, that Christ died for me. And when I did that, that's when I said, I want to be saved. So your faith is enacted when it is given enough information from the truth of the Word of God into your heart that you respond and you believe God. And when you believe God, then you react to God and you have the faith to carry out whatever God's Word wants you to do. See that? Now, so I saw Jesus. See, that takes care of that thing about blind faith. Faith is not blind. Faith sees. For instance, I'm not a scholar. I am not a scholar. I'm a Bible preacher. I like to think I'm a theologian. I like to believe I believe the Word of God and so on. If you want me to prove to you that the Bible, the King James Bible, is preserved of God, I think I can do that. I think I have enough information to do that. But I'm sure not like a lot of scholars that really have dug it out and know all the terms and Greeks and all that. And really, the truth is, I believe this Bible by faith. And it came to a place that I, in my heart, I had to make a decision because I was running with preachers. This is 1970 and 71. I was running with preacher who did not believe the King James Version was the perfect preserved Word of God. That's who I was running with and cooperating with. But I'd been reading my Bible, and I started reading some books, and I started, because I'm saying, they're trying to tell me I have a Bible with errors in it. They're trying to tell me that book has errors in it. And I said, how can I trust a Bible that has errors in it? How can I do that? So I was backing off from them guys in my heart, backing off, said, But then I started reading, and I started praying. I started going to God and started really studying. God brought into my life some books and pamphlets and things like that, and preachers who knew what they were talking about, scholarly men who knew, see? And I came to a conclusion in my mind and heart, this is the very Word of God, perfect and without error. And I came to a faith position. You can't change it. You don't have an argument big enough to change it. I run with the guys who do argue it. You can't convince me that this Bible has errors in it. You can't do it. Don't even try. Because there aren't any, for one thing. And my faith makes it what it is. And it is what my faith makes it what it is, by the way. See? I know right here in this chapter here, verse number 3 says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. In other words, God created everything out of nothing. I was with some young preacher boys one time. I like to have fun with them. I said, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that God created the worlds out of nothing? Yes. Yeah, they did, man. I said, what's nothing? It's nothing. I said, what is it? And I start having a lot of fun with them, trying to let them explain to me what nothing is. But I agreed with them. God spoke out the Word of God and created everything. You say, you really believe that? Yep. You want to believe you came from some little amoeba crawled up on a rock? You go ahead. I don't believe that. I believe God created the heavens, the earth, and everything in them, including us. I believe that. You cannot shake that. I believe that. And you say, why do you believe that? I believe it by faith. By faith is substantiating the truth. And it's a title deed. I just know. It's kind of like, see, I believe that a lot of things we have with God come from God are intuitive. Now, what I mean by that is, for instance, a wife can say to her husband, you know, I don't think you ought to do that, or you ought to watch that situation. And your husband say, well, what are you talking about? Say, well, I just, and her intuition is trying to warn him. Now, women's intuition don't always work 100%, sorry. But it works enough that a husband ought to say, whoops, and think about it. But you ask him, you say, well, what evidence do you have for being against that? Well, I don't have any. Huh? And yet you're against, yeah, I don't know. I can't tell you why. I just know. We just don't want to do that or go there or that. You better watch it. I just know it. I know it. You can't convince me. Watch out. Well, that same principle comes in faith. Say, how do you know God called you to preach? I just know it. I just know it. How do you know the Bible's the Word of God? I don't know how to tell you. I don't get up every morning and list all the reasons I do so that I can continue to believe the Bible's the Word of God. I just know it. It's like when I meet somebody, you can't tell me an hour later, you didn't meet that person. Yes, I did. I met him. His name's Joe Blow, and there he is right there. I know him. You just know. Faith is a knowing, see. How do I know God loves me? I tell you the truth, I needed to hear that. Of all the things I learned and people witnessing to me, believe it or not, was that God loved me. That's not all I needed to hear, but I really need to hear what he said. When he said, Fred, let's put your name in here, for God so loved Fred Schindler. When he said that, I said, God loves me? See, you say, how do you know God loves you? I just know it. Well, how do you know? Well, I know it, first of all, because of the Bible. How do you know you're saved? Because of the Bible. I don't know I'm saved just because I had an experience of salvation. I know it because God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did what God said it, and guess what? Because I acted upon the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God, guess what happened? I know I'm saved. See? There's no doubt about it. I know I'm saved. How do I know that God sent a son? I just know it. How do I know Jesus is virgin birth? I just know it. Well, first of all, because the Bible says so, but the Bible tells me I've chosen to believe the Bible and put my faith in the Bible, so I just know. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring a knowing into your heart and your life. See, just think about it. If you could be saved and not know it, you could lose it and never miss it. What kind of salvation was if a person couldn't know they're saved? We spend our life. We will never be like the woman at the well who never thirsted again. We'd always wonder if we're saved. See? And so I know I'm saved by faith. See, I know that Jesus rose again. How do you know? You weren't there. Did you see him? Did you see the empty tomb? Well, I did see the empty tomb 2,000 years after it was empty. I did go and see and go to the Holy Lands and visit. But the real truth, I told my people when I got back, I was a pastor, and I told the people, I said, I want you to know I saw Calvary. I saw Calvary. I saw where he died. It's right there on a hill right above a bus station. You can stand in a parking lot of a bus station and look up. And I stood there, I don't know how long, I just looked up, and I started weeping. That's it. That's where it was, right up there. You can see Golgotha. You can see the face of the skull in the mountain. You can see it yet. There it is. And people were walking by me and cars and everything. And I was so overtaken, I turned around and hollered, what is it, all ye that pass by? What don't you see? Don't you know? I was so overtaken. And then I said, I went around and went into the tomb. And we went in the tomb and sang, He Lives, you know. And in the tomb, right there where his body was laid. I believe it. I really believe that's where it is, too. Gordon's tomb and everything. But I told my people I did not have to go to the Calvary, and I did not have to go to the tomb to know that he died on Calvary and was risen from that tomb. I know. I know it by faith. See? Faith makes it real. Faith is based upon the Word of God. Don't watch my time. Faith is based upon the Word of God. Faith coming to hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then, if it's the Word of God, then it's also based upon my character analysis of God. Do I really believe God is who He says He is and what the Bible says He is? Do I really believe He's a real person? He's a real God. He's alive and well. He has character. Do I believe that? Do I have to have the... I can't trust God. He's a liar. See, that's why it's so terrible to tell somebody that their Bible has errors if they have a Bible with errors in it. Because you can't trust God. And it's kind of interesting that God could step out on nothing and speak everything in existence, and we don't have enough faith that He can preserve His Bible. Well, we believe that is based upon the personal application of the truth of the Bible to our life. It's believing God says all the promises of God are yea. They're yes. Do I really believe that? Well, then when I claim the Bible. See, I quit this business of searching the Word of God, hoping something jump off the page. Just jump off the page because I was, you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to create faith so I can have faith in my faith. Yeah, think that through now. Huh? No, God said it. That's it. It don't have to jump off the page. It don't have to flash in lights and so on in your heart. God said it. That's the Word of God. He meant it, whether you believe it or not. It's true. And if I have you ever read a Word of God, a promise, and you said, well, and you went to trying another promise, and you kept looking for promises, hoping that one would jump off the page and say, here I am, that's a good promise, trust that. That's all you're doing is you're just looking for something to happen so you can have faith in your faith rather than just believing God. Let me give you this, and I'm almost done, all right? As far as I know, I've never sat on that bench. As far as I know, I've been in this church many, 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 many times, but I've never sat on that bench. Okay? Now, do you believe that will hold me if I sat on that? Do you believe that? I think Tom's a good man. I've watched him, known him all these years. I've never known him to be a liar. If he tells me I can sit on that and it'll hold me, I believe him. Now watch this. So I'm going to exercise faith in his word. So I want you to say, Pastor Schindler, sit down on that bench. Would you? All right. Now, I can walk over and I say, why did he say that? Is he trying to trick me? If I sin, it's going to collapse under me and I'm going to embarrass myself. So now I got doubt. Now listen to me. You can't have faith without doubt. Because faith is trust. So now I have doubt that's going to hold me. But I'm going to believe him. I will believe what he said. I'm going to trust in his character. I'm going to trust that he never lied to me before. And he's an honorable person. And he said, it'll hold me. He's probably sat on it. So yeah, I'm going to sit on it. But I got doubt. So I may come over and I may go. Oh. Now, you know what I just did? I exercised faith that overcame doubt. Now, if I had that doubt, and I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't trust him. Now doubt has become unbelief. Ain't no way that won't hold me. So now my faith, I made a decision to let doubt have its way, and it turned to unbelief. Inaction. See? But faith is designed to overcome my doubt. See? Now, that is the essence of the Christian life, because you have an old nature and the devil and the world and everything that casts doubt upon God. But faith is built upon doubt. Faith without doubt is fact. For instance, if I had already sat on that before the services, and he said, go ahead, sit on it. I said, well, I'll sit on it. Why? Because I don't need faith. I had fact. So sometimes in our life, we have fact, but sometimes we don't. See? And so faith without doubt is facts. It's fact. Faith conquers and absorbs doubt. That's what I did. I went over there. I said, no, I'm going to trust God. See, when I stepped out and went full time, walked out of the factory without a salary, my faith had to absorb that doubt and conquer that doubt, because I believed in my heart that God had spoken to me through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, through my circumstances, all the things that He used to convince me in my heart to exercise faith and step out, I'd gone through. See? So sometimes we have to recognize faith is designed to absorb our doubt. Unbelief is doubt accepted. Doubt is an attitude until it's rejected or accepted. Let me say, doubt is an attitude. I can choose to have faith and obey God, and I can choose not to have faith and doubt God. He who doubts God suspects God of lying. Let me say that again. He who doubts God suspects God of lying, because He said all His promises are yes. Now, either God lied, or you got something wrong with your faith. Huh? So doubt is an attitude. Faith is putting down doubt. Belief is accepting the truth. Belief, then, when you decide, I'm going to believe God, that then turns into faith, because when you believe God, then you respond and act upon it, and faith takes over and you act upon that because you chose to believe. I choose to believe God. See? I came down and I got to quit. I came down real, real ill in about 83, 84. Ended up with a tumor, cancerous tumor on my inner ear. That's what I had. And so I was headed for an operation nobody ever wants to go through. But I called my men and the staff, and I had them meet me. And they came and anointed with oil. I had to make a choice. I decided to believe James, the 5th chapter. I decided to believe that God could heal me, if it was His will, if my men, the ordained elders in my church, were to anoint with oil and pray for me. So I exercised faith in His Bible that told me, call the elders. When my staff came, and they then, believing that the Bible says if somebody asked them to pray, they could anoint them with oil and God could heal them. They had to believe the Word of God, so they exercised faith. And guess what God did? God healed me when I was on my knees. See? Faith is putting down unbelief. Faith is trusting and relying on and acting out the will of God. Belief is an act of the will then. I choose to believe God. I have made up my mind, if I'm going to live for God and I'm going to be what God wants to be, I must live by faith. So that faith is based upon this book and God's will for my life. See, so I exercise faith. I choose to do that. Now, do I have a battle with that? Why, sure. There's a lot of times God calls upon us to do things we don't always. And I found out that sometimes God's will, for instance, it could have been God's will not to heal me. Because I don't believe just because you know it all that means. I believe God will either heal you or sanctify you in your affliction. And God could have said, no, Fred, I want you to carry this disease. I want you to carry this. You're going to be operated on. I'm going to take care of you. In fact, he wouldn't tell me, probably, but he said, I'm going to take you home through this. So I don't know. But my faith is going to be in God and in God's Word, and I will obey Him. And I found out by faith, God takes me one step at a time. Will I believe God this step? Will I believe God this step? Will I believe God? Am I going to walk with God and trust God and live by faith? All right. Father, bless the next service, please. In Jesus' name, amen.